The COVID-19 crisis has prompted us to think about what we really need in many areas of life. From groceries to home office equipment to creative ways of staying connected with family and friends. As we anticipate emerging from our quarantine, we'll spend several weeks considering Jesus' most essential teachings. Our message series, Summer on the Mount, brings us back to the basics about what it means to live, think, and act as people who find all we truly need in Him.
Hi, everybody. We are in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, we've been here for a little while. We got a few more weeks to go, but we are coming to a wrap pretty soon. Today, we're at the end of chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So we are in at the end of chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from verses 25 to 34. And I'm going to go ahead and read that passage now. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pause and pray for just a moment. Father, we ask you to please take these words of Scripture and inform us by them. Let them sink deep into our hearts and minds and teach us what you want us to know. We thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is extremely practical. What Jesus spoke to the people 2,000 years ago, you can imagine that if he came into your house today, he'd say the same things, and it would be very relevant. This sermon in particular, this part of the Sermon on the Mount, is timeless. It spoke to the people then. It speaks to us today. Or maybe it's just me, because the title of this message, you may have seen, is Worry, Let's Not. And I got to tell you that there are some messages that a preacher preaches to themselves again and again. And this is a message I preach to myself again and again. Don't worry. Don't worry. Jesus is saying in this message, he says it three times, do not worry. And in the Greek, what he's really saying is you need to stop this worrying that you're doing. You need to stop worrying. Here's the main point for today. Worry is a waste of our time and energy. Instead of worrying, Jesus invites us to greater trust in God. Yeah, I wish it was that easy, right? I wish we could just, you know, someone could say to me, Vern, stop worrying. And it would disappear. It would be gone. I wouldn't worry about anything ever again. But that's not the case. The fact is that, remember in Through the Looking Glass, the book Through the Looking Glass, the queen says to Alice, sometimes she thinks of 6 impossible things before breakfast. And I say, ha, I can think of 60 things to worry about before breakfast. I mean, it's just easy for me to think of things to worry about. I have to not daily preach this message about don't worry. I have to preach this message sometimes hourly to myself to let things go and to stop worrying about them. And I know I'm not alone. I know that some of you find it very easy to worry as well. In fact, what I'd like you to do is, if you can, very quickly, find a sheet of paper and write down 3 things that you are worried about right now, or 3 things you could be worried about if you let yourself. Keep that handy for a little while. We'll come back to it. If you wanted to write down more than three, you are average. Because, according to one study, the average person writes about five different, or worries about five different things every day. 16% of us worry about 10 different things every day. Another study reported that we give up about 5 years of our life to worry. And on top of that, excessive worrying can lead to a shorter life because it affects our immune system and our heart and our blood pressure and so on. So we actually lose years of our lives to worry. Isn't that awful? That we give up those parts of our life to worrying. And most of it makes no sense because according to another study, 85% of what we worry about never happens anyway. So we spend all this time and energy worrying about things that never come about. Worry is a thief. It steals our joy, our peace, our happiness. It steals our ability to enjoy what's right in front of us. It focuses our attention on things that may or may not happen. It affects our relationships. You know, the word worry, its roots in English come from a word that means to harass. And the picture is like a dog who picks up a stuffed toy, stuffed animal, and just shakes it back and forth in its mouth. That's what worry does to us. It picks us up and it shakes us back and forth and it harasses us. So we really need to hear what Jesus has to say about giving up this habit of worrying. You'd think with everything we have in this country, all the things that we enjoy, that we'd be protected from worry. Most of us don't have to think about where our next meal is going to come from. Most of us don't have to think about where we're gonna find clothes to wear. And in fact, we probably think more about the pounds we're putting on from eating too much, or we think about how we can get rid of some of the clothes that we can't fit into anymore, or things that we just don't wear any longer. Our basic needs, for the most part, for most of us in America, they're met. And yet Americans are said to be among the most worried people in the world. There was a Gallup poll taken last year that said 55% of Americans reported they stress a lot every day. And that was before coronavirus. I don't mean to be making light of worry. And I don't mean to be saying that it's an easy thing to just dismiss worry. It's not, not for me. What I am trying to say is worry is pervasive among us. It's something a lot of us have to fight. And Jesus wants to help us with that. Now, you know what it is to worry, right? We've all done it. It's being unable to dismiss a fear of something that might happen, thinking about it when you want to be doing something else, having that fear intrude into your mental space and preoccupy your mind. Like I said, I often have to cast my worries out repeatedly through the course of a day because they just keep coming back to my mind. But worry is not the same thing as fear. Fear is a real thing when there's a real threat to us. But worry, we can worry about things that are not real at all. In fact, a lot of our worrying is imagining things that might be happening, that could happen, and might not at all. I like how Pastor J.D. Greer described the state of being worried. You know how when you watch a scary movie, the music changes sometimes, and it becomes very ominous? I think they usually put it in a minor key and it makes you feel like something bad is going to happen. Well, J.D. Greer, talking about worry, said that worry is like hearing that music playing in your head all the time, even though nothing ominous is happening or is about to happen. If worry is so unhealthy and so pointless, why do we do it? Well, maybe a couple reasons are it has to do with control, right? We think somehow if we think about these things, somehow it gives us some control over them, or we prepare ourselves to deal with them if they happen. The truth is that it's very hard for us to deal with something that hasn't happened yet. It's very hard for us to prepare ourselves for that thing, and the worrying just eats us up instead. So the real question is, what can we do about it? Well, Jesus is telling us what to do about it in this passage of Scripture. He says there are three things we can do to defeat worry. We can overcome worry by observation, we can fight worry with faith, and we can attack worry by taking action. So let's take a look at each of those. First, overcome worry by observation. Verses 25 to 29, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away, and yet your Heavenly Father takes care of them. He feeds them. Can any of you add even an hour to your life by worrying? What about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. What is Jesus telling us to do here? He's telling us to take a look around. Take a look around. Look at the birds in the sky. I love watching the birds out my dining room window. Take a look at the birds. Do they look worried to you? Do you see birds sitting on a wire with their head? They're just shaking their head, and you get this look. They get this look on their beak, like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to find the worms? How are we going to eat? You might see angry birds. I've seen angry birds, but you don't see worried birds. And that's what Jesus is saying. Take a look at the birds and learn from them. They're not worried about how their needs are going to be met. Flowers don't worry about how they're going to be dressed up in their finest. God does that. God feeds the birds. God takes care of the flowers. He dresses them up. If God provides for the birds and the flowers, don't you think He'll provide for you? After all, you are much more valuable to God than birds and flowers. God did not place His image in the birds or the flowers, but He placed His image in you. God did not send His Son Jesus to die on a cross to save the birds, but He sent Jesus to die on a cross to save you. That's how much God thinks of you. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? So we can learn to stop worrying by observing nature, and we can learn to stop worrying by observing life. Jesus asks a rhetorical question. It has an obvious answer. Can you add length to your life simply by worrying? Does ruminating about things help you to live longer? And the answer is no. We've already seen that actually ruminating and worrying can take years off of our lives. So worry doesn't add to life. Take a look at one more thing. Observe this. Look into your memory and think about things that you spent a lot of time worrying about in the past. And ask yourself how many of those things actually came about or were as bad as you imagined them to be. A few years ago, I had to have a root canal, and just the words root canal struck this fear in me, because everything I had heard about root canals up to that point was that they were terrible, awful, painful. You know, it was going to be a nightmare experience. I went to the dentist. We had the root canal. He finished. And I actually said to him, are you really done? And he said, yeah. It was not painful. It was not horrible. I had spent hours worrying about that root canal, and it really turned out to be not much at all. Now, you may have had a different experience. All I'm saying is, in my experience, I spent a lot of time worrying about something that really didn't come to much. How many things have you worried about that didn't come to anything at all? Or when they did come, you found that you were much better able to handle them than you thought you would be. So take out your sheet of paper and take a look at it and ask yourself, how has God taken care of things like this in my past? Sometimes our ability to remember how God has cared for us is weak, and our ability to be afraid for the future is strong. Next time you begin to worry about something, just take a minute to remember how God has cared for you in the past. Second thing Jesus tells us to do about worry is this: fight worry with faith. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, there's a subtle rebuke in what Jesus is saying there. He associates worry with our lack of faith. And it's the same thing He says to the disciples when they were worried about drowning on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, He said that they had little faith. It's the same thing He said to Peter when Peter began to doubt Jesus when he's walking on the water. And Jesus says, why did you doubt? You have little faith. See, doubt that God is going to take care of us leads to our worry. And when people doubted Jesus caring for them, he challenged them on that. Some of us have enough faith to be saved, but not enough faith to live in trust of God to take care of us until we get to heaven. We don't doubt God's goodness or his power or that he has something wonderful waiting for us. We just don't completely trust that he will take care of us until we get there. Someone said, panic happens when our imagination deserts us and goes over to the enemy. Well, our spiritual enemy is Satan, the devil. And you know, he loves to camp out in our worries. He loves to stimulate our worries. He loves to jack up our worries so that we stop believing that God is going to take care of us and we just start focusing on the fears that we have. Remember Martha? How Jesus chastised her because she got preoccupied with taking care of things, getting dinner ready, and she lost sight of what was really important, which was spending time at that moment with Jesus. Jesus had to remind her of what mattered the most. And here Jesus reminds us that God knows our situation and he knows what we need and he will take care of us. God is going to help us through whatever may come. So take another look at your list. Are you trusting that God knows about your needs and are you trusting him to care for you? Here's a third thing that Jesus tells us to do to defeat our tendency to worry. Attack worry with action. In verse 33, he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. You know, there's an order to things in God's kingdom that works well. If we want to be free of worry in this life, we don't put our primary focus on the things that we are worried about. We put our primary focus on God, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. So say you're worried about the security of your job. Might be a legitimate worry. You could put a lot of energy into that worry. You could make changes at work. You could go in earlier. You could stay later. You could look for more opportunities to develop your relationship with your boss. You could take on extra assignments. You could do all of that, and it might or might not get you the results that you desire. But Jesus says, there's a better way to defeat that worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, everything will be taken care of if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. John Piper makes a very interesting point about this passage. He points out that a lot of rulers, a lot of kings and people in authority, they like their subjects and their people to be afraid because in their mind, it gives them more control and power over people if the people are afraid. But not God. No, Jesus, he comes and he says, God does not want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be constantly worried. That's not how God works. He's not trying to control us by keeping us fearful. He's trying to lift the worry and the fear from us. And the first thing we need to do is to seek him. Now, let me say something about the word seek, because you might blow right past that and not understand. This isn't just kind of a haphazard looking around for God. This isn't picking up the Bible every now and then and reading a verse and closing it up and going on our way. It's not throwing up a prayer and then not praying again for a week or 2 weeks or a month. The word seek here has to do with intense looking, okay? Looking like it matters. So it's the word that's used when Jesus tells a story about a shepherd who's searching for his lost sheep. He's seeking that lost sheep. Or a woman who has 10 coins and loses one of them, and she searches hard to find the one that she's lost. It's the same word used when Mary and Joseph lost, if you will, Jesus when he was 12 years old. They couldn't find him, and they went searching for him. And a desperate kind of, we have to find him way. That's what this word seek means. In fact, it's the same word used by Jesus to describe why he came to earth, to seek and to save the lost. So it's not just a casual kind of, well, I hope God's out there, and God, if you are, then please help me with my worry. No, this is, God, I need you. God, I have to know you. God, I will put myself, I will do whatever I need to know who you are, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. If we do that, God is promised to take care of us, no matter what comes. Because, you know, you might go through something very difficult. You might go through something very painful. But here's the thing. When you get there, God will be there with you. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." God is making a promise. If you belong to Him, if you're part of His kingdom, you never face anything alone. So don't worry. So let me ask you, is your pursuit of God's kingdom more concerning to you than the things on your list? Jesus closes this section of the message by encouraging us to take everything one day at a time. We may have some trouble to deal with tomorrow, or tomorrow may turn out better than we fear today. Either way, our attention only needs to be on taking care of today's business. Go ahead and plan for the future, do the things you can to be a wise provider, but don't spend time worrying about things that haven't come yet. Each day will have enough trouble of its own. James, the brother of Jesus, in chapter 4 of his letter, says we can't really know what tomorrow's going to look like anyway. You know, one day in March, we were planning our services for the weekend, and the very next day, we're planning how we're going to do services when we can't use our buildings. Things can change quickly. But we're not to worry about what's coming. We plan, we get ready, we give it to God, and we trust that He's going to help us through whatever may come. None of that is going to come easily. Doesn't come easy to me. Like I said in the beginning of this message, I have to regularly give things over to God. As Peter says, I have to cast my anxiety on Him, knowing that He cares for me. But Jesus wants to relieve us of our worries. He wants us to meditate on how God has cared for us in the past, to put our faith in God for the future, and to seek His kingdom in the present. And with God's help, we will become increasingly free from the tyranny of worry. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You will lift the burden of worry from us so that we have the mental, emotional, and spiritual energy to be about the things that You have for us to do right now, right here. Help us to put our faith in You and not to be fearful of tomorrow, knowing that You're going to be with us today, tomorrow, and on into eternity. We give You thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.